Brady Henderson from 710 ESPN in Seattle. Brady, I'm hearing that the party for this game, like fans were coming into the stadium at like noon today.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of buzz around here. There's as part of the NFL's kickoff, there's a concert right outside the stadium. Pharrell Williams, some pop singer who I have to admit I have never heard of, and then also Seattle's own Soundgarden are playing. So it would obviously already be a big deal just being the first game after the Super Bowl, but then it's just being the first game of the actual NFL season. It's especially a big deal here.
Now, Brady, how's the what's the atmosphere in terms of the two teams? Are they, you know, playing it on the down low, or is Richard Sherman talking? Do we have much hype between the actual teams?
There was actually one notable instance of trash talking yesterday, and it came from Bruce Irvin, who's an outside linebacker on the Seahawks, and he made reference to the Packers' backup center, who's playing because their normal center was injured. And he said that he was going to pray for the backup center because he had to go against Brandon Nebane, who's one of the better nose tackles in the NFL. So as far as trash talking go, that was probably the most notable and I would say probably the most clever instance that we've seen so far. But there really hasn't been a great deal. I think there's not, you know, the rivalry with these two teams like you see with Seattle and San Francisco. But that was one that I would say.
Nothing from Mr. Sherman thus far.
I haven't heard a whole lot, no. He's been a little more subdued, it has seemed like. Maybe that's just me, but no, I don't recall seeing anything from him.
Looking at the Seahawks, every team loses a few good guys. Who was the biggest offseason loss for this team?
Golden Tate, and I would say that without hesitation. He was their best receiver last year, certainly their most productive. And he was a guy who really helped them win a lot of games with some big plays. He didn't really have the volume of, you know, the big impressive statistics like you see with some of the other NFL receivers. And I think part of that was just because of the confines of Seattle's offense. They run the ball more than any team in the NFL. I think they had the second fewest pass attempts. But Tate was really a fantastic football player, and he also was a really good punt returner. And last year, they really needed him because Percy Harvin went down. And with Tate gone, Percy Harvin, you know, he's always sort of injury concerned. So we'll see, especially if something happens to Harvin, the Seahawks might feel that loss pretty big.
Yeah, Brady, I mean, it comes down to Tate for me, too, in terms of the offense. But for me, the Seattle Seahawks are about the defense. No disrespect to the other guys, but they haven't lost any significant parts, and that's what strikes me as reason to worry for opponents coming into that building.
Yeah, you know, it's really weird to think that their two starting DNs are Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett, who weren't even starters last year, as good as they were. I mean, they played, obviously, quite a bit, but they actually technically were not starters. That was Chris Clemons and Red Bryant, who both were salary cap casualties. They were cut by the Seahawks and landed both in Jacksonville. But, I mean, those are the two most notable departures. And I would say that, you know, it wasn't so much that I don't know how big a drop-off there's going to be because they've got two guys in there, two guys who are in that rotation who are awfully good.
Brady Henderson joins us talking Seahawks. Now, you mentioned how often they ran the ball last season with Marshawn Lynch. We know there was a brief holdout. He got all his money back, and he's fine. But, you know, the history of running backs and having great seasons, especially coming off that amount of carries, is there concern about his wear and tear, and will they throw the ball more this year?
Well, I think there has to be some level of concern about his wear and tear, and it's not only the fact that he's had a pretty hefty workload for the past three seasons, and also his age. But it's sort of the type of carries those have been. It's you watch him play, and I'm sure you've seen his running style. He's not really a guy who avoids contact so much as he seeks it. So you would have to imagine that whatever timetable that running backs are on, and we a lot of times see them once they approach 30, it's like a brick wall. You would have to wonder if his running style sort of accelerates that process. We haven't really got a good indication of what he's going to be like this year just because he hardly plays in the preseason. And, this year he had to hold out, so he was gone for an extended amount of time. And I think he only had a handful of carries in the preseason. So This is going to be the first indicator of his readiness to resume that workload.
Brady, you know, one stat I didn't realize. I'm reading one piece here. It's talking about the Seahawks being 17-1 on home field since Russell Wilson took over the club. You know, I'm seeing some of the things the Packers are saying. Oh, it's a great stage. You'd expect that spin from them. The fact is, this is an almost impossible place for teams to win on the road. Is there any reason why that will change this year?
You know, I don't think that they're entirely bulletproof at home. And you mentioned it. We did see that last season with them losing a game to Arizona up here. They do have a tough schedule this year, and there are some teams that could beat them. I certainly don't think it's going to happen tonight. Not with everything, you know, with, you know, sort of the buzz around here. You know, games are already an incredibly big deal here, and the stadium is already deafeningly loud. And then you add just the buzz of, you know, the NFL's opener and the first game coming off the Super Bowl victory. So I wouldn't rule out them losing a game at home this year, just because it's hard to go, you know, whatever they've gone to win 8 home games every year. I just don't think it's going to happen tonight.
When you talked about Percy Harvin, and we saw what he could add in the Super Bowl, of course, the Monsters kickoff in the second half. A lot of people talk about him being so dynamic at full speed. I was reading some stories online that he's never looked better. And a lot of people say stuff like that, especially teammates. Oh, my goodness, he's that dangerous. How good has Harvin looked? And because of his speed and ability, you know, like Tate was good, but Tate I don't think is nearly the playmaker that Harvin is because of his speed. How do you see them using him? Is he going to be a guy that's lining up all over the field? Are we going to see hitch passes to him? Are we going to see reverses?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit of everything. And if you go back to 2012, which was his last year in Minnesota, he got injured actually against the Seahawks of all teams in about week 9, I want to say. And before that, he was an MVP candidate. He was such a big part of that offense, and they were getting him the ball in every way you can imagine. It was, you know, handoffs, end around, you know, sort of bubble screens right near the line of scrimmage. And I think that's what you're going to see a lot of this year. Now, with Minnesota, I think part of that was by necessity because they didn't really have a quarterback who could get him the ball downfield. With Seattle, it's not going to be so much by necessity. It's just going to be a way to get him the ball in space. And it's incredible. When you watch him in practice, the most amazing thing about him is the speed at which he goes from, you know, like race cars, they talk about 0 to 60. How fast he goes from just a dead stop to full speed, it's incredible. And I think this season you're going to see them try to take advantage of that skill, as I mentioned, with, you know, a lot of bubble screens and just getting him the ball near the line of scrimmage and letting him take off from there.
Brady, I know we're just going into the opening game here, but let's take these two teams in the sense of the bigger picture. When you look at the Seahawks with the changes we've discussed, what sort of record pops into your mind for them? And likewise, for the Packers, who have some questions.
You know, I think the Seahawks, I think 13-3, again, is a realistic record. And I don't think that that's going to mean that they're not going to be any better than they were last year. I think it's entirely possible that they are a better team this year.
Tougher schedule.
Yeah, it is a difficult schedule. And you know, one thing that I would point to is that this team, for as good as it was last year, obviously winning the Super Bowl, it's still a really young team. It's one of the younger teams in the NFL. So you can realistically expect that a lot of those key players, Russell Wilson, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, you can expect that those guys can actually get better, which is kind of crazy to think about. One thing I would caution against, though, is last year that team stayed remarkably healthy. And I don't know if they're going to be able to duplicate that this year. Now, part of staying healthy, I think they were helped by being such a young team. You know, it's obviously easier to stay healthy with that. But, you know, I just don't know. You mentioned the schedule, especially in the second half, it's really tough. So I think that they could end up being 13-3 this year and actually be a better team than they were a year ago.
And one last one, Green Bay comes in with one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Jordy Nelson's a hell of a receiver. You've got Lacy. You've got Randall Cobb. They don't necessarily have a dynamite tight end just yet, although there's some people that are high on the rookie. But looking at Aaron Rodgers and what he's capable of, what's the biggest concern if you're Seattle's defense? And if you're Green Bay, what would you look at exploiting tonight?
Yeah, that's a good question. One area that comes to mind, and I don't know if it would be a great concern for Seattle, but Bruce Irvin, who I mentioned earlier, he missed all of training camp with coming off of hip surgery. They just began practicing this week. So I don't know how much he's going to play, which means they may not be completely at full strength at linebacker. But the thing is, they were so deep at linebacker last year that the guy who ended up winning the Super Bowl MVP, Malcolm Smith, wasn't even a starter. So they've got all those guys back. That's the one area where I would point to. But you know, I would call it a giant concern. The Seahawks, like they were last year, they're spending the season pretty healthy.
Righty, enjoy it tonight. It's been a heck of a day. Sounds like a lot of fun. Big festivities all around the city in Seattle, and I'm sure they'll have an extra special banner-raising night tonight before the game. Enjoy it.
All right. Thank you. Take care.